Yo, dude, I got stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's the Suez Canal, bro. My bad. We're still doing the podcast, bro. You guys still doing it? Yeah. So we do it once a week, every Tuesday, point them out. Great scenic 4K views. 10 hours of Mr. Krabs walking every fucking second. We're doing the pod. Great. What's up? Welcome to Tough as A, bro. Yeah.
Come one, come all, it is toughest to sayeth y'all.
Come one, come on them all. It's your boy, Paul, and I'm not known as Saul. You know I'm about to go greasy. It ain't easy to be cheesy. Every day you looking at me, they say they looking sleazy. I'm easy. Easy money, bitch, I'm fucking pleasing. I'm pleasing. Every day they fucking teasing. Teasing all these hoes. Up the hill I go. Bitch, I'm Sisyphean looking out my nose.
Yeah. Programming alert for all those.
Program alert. You know I'm about to go until the pussy squirt. I'm sorry, mom. I didn't mean that. My bad, mom. I did not mean that. I did not. I'm a grown man near 30. A lot. Any, purple mountains on top. We got lean. I'm skeezed. Slizzy on my...
or managing partner at Graham's firm. We collectively will disavow. But anyways...
Collectively disavow what I'm saying. I'm phrasing everything. And they praying five times in the east. They staying.
Brees, I've started a new show.
Oh.
Two new shows.
That'd be so... I know what you're about to say, but I wish it was... I actually started this new show. I've been doing a local podcast here in the Charlotte area.
So me and my boy Raul, we've been sitting down every Wednesday. Not
dude.
I'm
meeting Raul. He's got low tech, but it's also kind of a lo-fi beat anyways, baby.
We just do ASMR whippets the whole time.
Bikini Bottom, Raul and Grease and Big Mac Don meet
from Bikini Bottom. Raul is joining the pod.
You know what's funny is I have, what's funny, Graham? Ha ha ha. Better be funny, Graham. Ha ha ha. There's a pretty large group of people in my living room right now.
Okay.
And
can't hear them at all.
No, I don't mean that that they might be heard on our podcast. I just mean that they are probably hearing me screaming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I don't give a fuck. It must be this way. I'm in Santorini with Bay.
Nah, Breeze. let me have my moment, baby.
Okay, I'm sorry. My bad.
So, dude, I've started two new shows. One's a new show.
Okay.
It's called Masters of the Air. It's definitely little bro to Band of Brothers and the Pacific, but still entertaining.
Okay.
Makes me extremely fortunate. I was not in the B-17 bombing Eastern Europe and Western Europe, for that matter, in 1943. Makes me very happy.
I think in a past life, if you were around circa World Wars, you'd probably be a pilot.
No way. No way.
You don't think so? You'd be you'd be a distinguished general.
Yeah. No, I'd be leading men over hills with machine gun fire oncoming.
I don't know. I don't know. You would. Yes. You do have a rugged nature, and in a past life, you were ripped AF. But I see you more as a militant strategy guy.
I idolize men that were leading.
Oh,
Marines.
You pause, bro.
you're
idolizing men, bro. Pause, bro.
So, Captain Richard Dick Winters of Easy Company, the 101st Airborne. Actually, no, 82nd Airborne. Excuse me.
Easy Money Winter for show.
I'm giving you a little pop culture, Grease. This new show, Masters of the Air, it's on Apple. It's good. It's not like Band of Brothers. And have you seen Band of Brothers, Grease?
Core.
So it's goated. I mean, it might be the best single season miniseries of all time. It's probably goated as far as awards, budget, production, blah, blah, blah. I'd be curious Benny Hanna's thoughts as my creative side as well.
It's up there. I would say it's up there. His opinion these days, it's always interesting. This guy, he's too busy climbing mountains and doing yoga. So he's not really spectating that much anymore.
So is Jay Nash.
You know, him
so,
and the silver screen. But they're Bruce, not the I've, same I've, like they once were.
I've restarted Prison Break.
Wow, you're going back to the P.
Because I was on an American Airlines flight. And it was I was really on the at the bottom of the barrel of offerings.
What were you Let's choosing? Go. What were you choosing between?
Just like dumb movie between dumb movie.
And it was like, you know what? It was like Cars and Coraline, and you're like, you
if
know
it
what?
Was car- no, no, I'd rip Cars. I've yet to see Cars 2 and 3. I would love to go see those. But
maybe we should do an online live stream.
A Twitch.
You and me watch Cars 3.
No, I'd rather watch you and me Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars.
That'd be okay. Cool. Okay, Barry.
So, Prison Break. I want to talk about 2003, 2004 Hollywood.
Okay.
Every stereotype in the world existed in 2003. Every single one. Right and left. Non-political, political.
Who controlled Hollywood around that time, you think?
I think people that are either hung by a noose or committed suicide. I think most people that did that stuff are dead.
Okay. He said it. Not. Decreed.
His name rhymes with Leffrey Lepstein.
Oh, Beffrey Bepstein. Got it.
And Barvey Weinstein.
Barvinton Weinsteinium. Yep. He was not a good guy.
Jeffrey Epstein had anything to do with Hollywood.
Nope, zero.
Maybe he did.
Well, you know, maybe. They're always... Kanye did say.
He did.
He did. We disavow Kanye on this podcast.
Yeah.
Except for some songs on Donda.
I would say some songs, just kind of a general.
Well, many songs, but... Saw music good. Well, I probably would disavow that one tape. It's the one that has Cudi track on there that I like.
The Cudi, yeah. It's the one like out in Montana. Yeah. It's intertwined with religion. Yeah.
Let me look this up real quick. This is
and I'm religious. I'm religious, folks. I'm Catholic. I'm proud of it.
Kanye
I just don't
West.
Need Kanye talking to me about the Lord.
Yeah, Jesus is King.
Yeah,
I do out and. I do away a lot with ye. I'd also do a lot without Kids See Ghosts, just to be honest.
Yeah.
I do like Reborn. And Reborn Jesus, Jesus is King got zero saves. Ye got zero saves.
Yep.
People forget. Oh, Vultures. Oh, that one song's out. Yep, that's already been out, Graham. Fucking idiot. Cool.
The Vultures will be nice. I think Vultures will be, there's a lot of Pluto in there. That's what's tough for you and me, Grease, is that there is that Kanye streaming platform exclusive album with a bunch of heat.
What shit is that on? Tidal or some shit?
No, it's on, it's either Tidal or Kanye's own guy.
Truth Social? But
I've heard Apple Music is welcome to the family. There'll be some like, artist that will release a song, but it's actually just a lie, and it's something on another streaming platform. And many of the Kanye's came out that way. They obviously all got caught, but you would hear them, and you're like, "Wow, this is great, Pluto and Yay." But no more. So Grease, we are here. It is a Sunday sesh. It is Feb 4. It is Feb 4. This ep is going to drop Feb 6.
Yeah.
You, I believe, set out a vision for your week.
Yeah.
I don't know if that vision became real.
I don't remember what was my vision that I had set?
It was like social on these particular nights, but not social these nights.
Oh, I can actually sing it for you. I made a TikTok about it. Here, I'll sing it. I'll do a rendition right now.
I miss Graham TikToking.
TikTok Graham is back. TikTok Graham is back and better than ever. This was the song that I sang. Would you rather I play it or would you rather I just sing it right now?
I would prefer a song. I would prefer a solo.
You want it live? You want the live rendition?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the song went like this. Excuse me. Just let me get to my proper tone here. Mm-hmm. Monday game, Tuesday bitch, Wednesday game, Thursday bitch, Friday friends, Saturday friends, Sunday picking up the pieces where it ends. Most of that came true. Yeah. The narrator voice. And most of that came true.
And it appears as if most of that came true for Sire Greaven.
Yeah, most of that came true. Minus one respectful woman. That's how we refer to women here. Respectful, dignified, exalted ones. Otherwise known as future is female. Yeah. Otherwise known as all my baby boo-boo queens, my shoddies and mommies. All respectful.
It's like what little TJ said. Shoddy a little baddie.
Shorty's a little respectful, powerful queen.
That's right.
And Shorty's got a bank account that probably is larger than mine.
Breeze.
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. I have a lot to report.
Well, reporteth.
So out the gate, I want to say that I think that there is a disproportionate amount of women who are from places like we are from / wealthy pockets of any part of the country who have a certain sort of wonderful mystique, a certain sort of wonderful personality, and they all happen to drive a white Audi Q5 with tan interior. Just an observation, just making notes. Sample size is large. Control group of girl who drives the Mazda is being also factored in here. That's number one.
Mazda has grit.
Mazda, hey, as one Ford Fusion driver to the next Mazda driver. No, but
there's a difference. Like, I literally don't know where I've ever seen a Mazda dealership. So let's just, we've all passed Ford dealerships. Whoa. No one has ever seen a Mazda dealership.
You don't remember Tyrone Square Mazda, dude? Tyrone Square, dude?
Mazdas show up automatically. They could be brand new, but they're already on the used car market.
That is actually crazy because now that I'm digging back into the mental bag, I do not think I've ever seen a Mazda dealership with my own eyes.
Imagine like you're
I've seen every other single one, even luxury cars.
I'm sure both you, especially me, TBD, you're at a Super Bowl party and someone you don't know is like, oh, so what do you do? And you're like, and again, sorry that people that do this, but like
Mazda dealer.
I work over at Daytona Mazda. And you're like,
yeah, dude, slinging Mazda like it's my fucking job.
No, seriously. I've never seen a Mazda dealership.
I wish I knew more car salesmen. I bet they're... Or a saleswoman, bro.
Shit.
I wish I knew more people that sold cars. Shout out to Chet. Chet's a car guy.
Chet's a huge car guy. Well, you know my grandfather. I don't know if you've ever met him, but my grandfather.
I haven't, but it would be an honor someday to shake his hand.
He is... I will be a wreck of a human when he passes away.
That's very sad. This is a somber episode. Today we're going to talk about losing your relatives.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, I wish I had more people that sold Mazdas in my life. I don't. Other observations that I have, and this was quite a weekend, and I'm going to drop some names on this because...
Ooh, we're doing a little dropper.
Dropper. Drop it in the toilet, bro. Drop the kids off at the pool. Dropping the kids off at the pool. That's called a poopy.
My friends, 7th annual joint birthday party. One of their names is Danny. The other name is Simon. Both OGs. Mm-hmm. When you mix their last names together, that forms the celebratory weekend that we have celebrated for 7 years consecutively. That is the 7th annual Zachary Oskovitz that has been in several locations. It has been in New York before. This is a return to the city. And both of my boys... They both turned 30. Now I have to go back into my Rolodex here, going into the yellow pages, as they used to say.
Yeah.
These are definitely, and now my brother's 31, so I've done 30, but an OG of this magnitude being 30, that's a first. But I do want to dispel the notion out there for anybody listening that might be there or close. I'm not far away. I'm turning 28 in June. I'm going to hearken.
Leonard Fournette year.
Yeah, people are saying. I'm going to hearken back on a conversation I had with Cheddar Bob Chad not too long ago, who is in his 30s now, and I was with him.
Retired producer.
Yeah, retired producer. People forget. But when he turned 30, he felt like this great deal of relief because his 20s were fraught with a little confusion and some soul searching for his identity. He spent a lot of time in Melbourne, Florida, which is maybe the shittiest place ever. And working in defense, also very difficult. But he found peace in his 30s because he felt
peace like through strength.
He just knew what he wanted in life and he knew how to attain it. And there's certainly some things that he is still searching for, but he just feels better balanced and more centered. And he truly believes that it was a byproduct of just experience in life and having your 30s be much different and the perception of life with your peers that are reflecting that same difference. So there's some commonality with people that are well aware now. And in some cases, especially where we're from, 30 at times equals some pretty serious stuff, perhaps marriage, children, advancement in your job to such a degree where you're shouldering a lot of the burden of responsibility.
Yeah, you're a producer.
With great power comes great responsibility. And for both of these boys, they felt very similarly. They're both living their best lives. And it was very, very cool to be with them and experience that. And outside of the sentiment of both the observation of life, the progression of such, and then just being with the gang, there were some very funny moments that were woven into this weekend. One of which being, and it's something that I mean, where to begin, honestly? I have so much. I'm going to throw a lot at you. Feel free to just stop me whenever. As you know, this is a conversation.
This is not a lecture. Okay. So here's my thoughts.
Friday, dude. Friday, we pull up on my friend's crib. His older brother had, and I don't know the situation. I don't know if it's a rent. I'm not sure if it's a purchase. My dog is doing well for himself. In fact, I had not been in a New York home like that in quite some time. And I have described such in the past as succession-esque. And it certainly was that. It was in the heart of Soho. And it was an unbelievable home curated with hand-selected art, of which was very inspiring for a man who's about to move myself. We vibed. We did some things. We pull up on this local spot in the East Village called Mary Lou. And boy, I ain't never going to stamp a place harder than this spot. It's dope. It's kind
is
of
it
like...
is it MacDon?
MacDon with love. But I don't know, MacDon. You're not really an electric guy. You don't...
Nope.
I'd like to see you dance. I haven't really seen you dance in a long time. But there is a space to vibe and chill. We had a little table situation. Yeah,
I'd be chilling. I'd be chilling.
Well, courtesy of the house, the hospitality there is wonderful. I would recommend it to any of those who are cityites, or as I've recently heard it, and now I will be calling. Shut the fuck up, bitch. The recent way of referring to the island as Work Island. So I'm never going to refer to it as Manhattan again. It's just Work Island. So Work Island, and then I live out in Brooklyn. Very different things. But out there on Work Island, there are some gems, and I've been traveling, been searching far and wide, Lewis and Clark style, expeditious, to go and find just the place that I can stamp and be like, oh, you want to go out? You want to do something? We can just go to this place. This is a place that I will have tucked away in my bag of tricks. But it was dope, and what it taught me is beyond the wealth part of it, which is certainly helpful as you build your community and your contacts. This guy just has a really great way of fostering those relationships. And it was evident. It was a lot of very genuine and as a wise man who is our friend's father, he's the fourth iteration of their kinship. He said, it's all about building genuine and utilitarian relationships. And this is what that guy's done. So that was wonderful. But Slat, dude, I did something that I know for a goddamn fact that you would never do. In fact, if you stepped foot into what I did Saturday morning, you might call the authorities. You might call God. You might call your mom. You might merge the call from the Holy Trinity with your mother. I would love to see you in this environment. I know I would never. Back in, let's ballpark it as the 1800s, maybe the 1700s, maybe even.
I like where this is going.
Maybe a little even BC action. And I ain't talking Boston College, ho. Respectfully. Back in the day, bathhouses were commonly visited to bathe, of course. And later in life, they became more of a luxury. There are many bathhouses in New York. There is one in particular that is the OG, established in 1892. It is still there today. It is the Russian and Turkish bathhouse in the East Village. I went with three of my friends, and it was a pretty preposterous experience. Imagine walking into what is effectively like a dungeon, but mirrors exactly what you might think a bathhouse to be. Narrow corridor with dozens of half-naked people, mostly men, and just chambers of varying degrees of saunas and steam rooms with a cold plunge in the center. I went in, I was the most hungover person maybe on planet Earth. When I left, much like Mr. Krabs molting from his shell, I became new. I reached enlightenment. I achieved nirvana. But the process to get there was nothing short of a fucking... I don't even know how to describe this to you. Imagine this, okay? You're in a locker room. You strip down. I was wearing a little normal Nike bathing suit with the Nike compressions beneath kind of thing. If I was going
everything,
to the beach.
Dude, I'm loyal. Dude, so I keep that check on me, bro. Checks over stripes all day, every day.
I got that shit on me. I walk downstairs. It's just wet. Everything's wet. I think you might throw up if you were down there. I go to the first redwood is a sauna. You just start to bake. This is just like I'm on the preheat cycle.
Ooh.
Luckily, we happen to run into what people were referring to this man as. His name is Michael. They call him the mayor. He's the mayor of the bathhouse. He goes there every day for about an hour. And he was our spiritual leader. He had no allegiance, no responsibility to do so. He just took it upon himself to be the connection point and the guide so that we were properly exfoliating and exercising our demons by sweating every single thing out that has ever been a bad molecule in our bodies.
Yep.
But it starts with this preheat cycle. Then you move to the steam. And as you're moving through the corridor, each of these rooms is getting progressively hotter and hotter. And the important thing to know about this particular Russian and Turkish bathhouse is that they were grandfathered in. And you might be asking yourself, to what? Existing? No, sir. There should be proper regulation around how hot certain steam rooms and saunas and points of the bathhouse. There should be a regulation as to how hot it gets. This place is grandfathered in. And so they have some, what I'm assuming to be pretty lethal temperatures if you were to not approach them correctly or be in them for too long. In fact, as you're working your way through, you're looking at the thermometer and you're like, fucking A, dude, it is hot.
Was this it's free hot. Of charge?
Absolutely not. It was $60. Okay. But not bad to go in. I was in there. It's a day pass, so I could essentially vibe there all day. I would not do that, but I was there for like an hour and a half or 2 hours. But at the very end of this hallway is this room that, and I don't mean this to sound insensitive, but this was exactly what it looked like. And I was with fellow kin who can back me up and that have a little more jurisdiction to say this. Mm-hmm. But it was like we were in Auschwitz, dude. It was literally, it looked like a gas chamber. It looked like, and it felt like being at the core of a nuclear reactor. And after you're going through, I'm going through like five different steam rooms and saunas. I'm like, I'm baked, bro. I'm feeling, my skin is like, my skin hurts. And I go into this room that has like a fucking steel furnace. And I can only describe it as the nuclear reactor, because having already gone through my fascination with the various nuclear disasters that have occurred on this planet.
Yep.
I felt like I was looking right into it, and it left like one of my boys had like low key kind of a chemical burn. He looked like he had been exposed to radioactive material. He had the graphite in his hands.
You know, that would probably be how I react.
Yeah, your skin, I think, would thank you, but several days after.
Yeah.
Dude, I just had never felt heat like that in my life. It was 215. 215 degrees.
Holy smoky.
You know, I told people this like all throughout the day, and they're like, that's not possible. That's not legal. I'm like, bro, I'm just saying, this place is, they got grandfathered in on this. But when I walked out of there, dude, I did the cold plunge too. I also felt like my body was going to, like, the sensation of going through five different steam rooms and saunas to culminate to what was effectively like my reckoning. It felt like that's probably what hell feels like. You're just constantly dumping ice water on yourself because you're dying. And I go into the cold plunge. I'm like, my body, my nervous system does not know how to react at all.
Good thing whatsoever. You're not going to go to hell though, dude.
Yeah, thank God. I'm a believer. But
not that you're, irrespective of believing, you're a good guy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you, man. Thanks, bro. I love you, bro. Baby, bro, I love you, bro. You're my guy. Am I crying?
It's true, though.
I appreciate you, dude.
I don't know.
But walking out of there, dude, I did feel like I had traded in all of my bones for titanium blood and steel and chrome.
Don't lose sight of, it's still like, what, 35 degrees outside?
That was the best part. After you go in, you shower, you feel unbelievable. You walk outside, 35. Sun was out for the first time ever. It was still very cold, but it felt so nice on my skin, which I must say, it added point in that day. It felt like it might burn off my body. Mm. But all the culmination of that weekend into a Saturday night at Eris, a little downtown joint, little Clubatron. We were out late as hell. And then...
Ooh, a little Jaxorian.
Yeah, we were at Jackson Mahomes' crib. And
what were you guys doing?
We were doing TikTok dances, and we weren't sexually assaulting women in the bathroom, like Jackson Mahomes is known to do. But we ended up leaving this place very late, probably around 2:30 or 3. We were searching for food. This diner, local diner, I wish I could have saved... one of my faves, Kellogg's Diner. It died. So we stumbled upon this Mexican place. We walk in and open all the signs, all the flashing LEDs indicate that it's open. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. We walk in, the entire staff, of which is like a solid six people, they're all in the dining room watching a movie on a TV that's been propped up on like cardboard boxes and random tools.
Yeah,
like it was on my story. If you saw it on my Instagram story, and
oh, if I did you delete it?
No, it's just on. It was put up there very late, but they were playing this movie that I would recommend to you, under the pretense of, did you ever think that Vince Vaughn could play a role where he is an unbelievably brutal murderer? Because that's what this movie is.
Do you mind? I've seen a lot of movies. What is this one called?
This one is called Brawl at Cell Block 99. And it is a unbelievably brutal and grotesque movie.
Oh, it's got a great little cast. Jennifer Carpenter.
Yeah. It is a brutal film. And we walk in and I'm with two of my homies. Wow. I'm with
Vince
one.
Vince Vaughn with the head tap.
I know. I'm with two of my homies and one dude that I just met. And I'm with these four girls that I don't know. I haven't even had a conversation with them at all throughout the evening. I walk in and I can't help myself but to go, just so we're clear, the situation here is already very strange. There's no music playing. It's just this movie that is not only being dubbed in Spanish, but there's also the Spanish subtitles that are on as well. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is what this movie is. By the way, it is an unbelievably brutal movie. And I could not stop watching it. I was so mesmerized because we came in probably 50% of the way through and we were there long enough to catch the end. Dude, as people are like eating burritos and enchiladas, dude's jaws are just getting snapped and exploded. Wow. So yeah, good weekend, man.
Yeah, good weekend. Yep.
Russian yep. bathhouses.
Yep.
Dude's jaws exploding on TV in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Closer to culture, as they say. And that's just a little overview of my life. Welcome.
Well, then it's maybe, TNT maybe broadcast. This is a little bit of a lighter.
Oh, because you don't like podcasting. I forgot.
No, Nima.
Oh, you just don't like it. Yeah.
We have a huge weekend coming up. We're going to have.
Which is what?
We're going to have to record Monday night.
Like the following Monday night.
It's soupy.
Oh, balls. Yeah, well, Monday night is good, though.
No, but I'm saying we're going to have like a deep dive review on the soupy.
Right, because that's what the people want. They want us to cover the soup.
They want my comments about what political narratives I'm noticing.
Hey,
Breeze.
The people are clamoring, and they say, we would like Barry to dissect and analyze every single commercial to see how they politically lean. They want also him to cover why exactly Travis and Taylor are a government psyop.
So I entered dad mode last night. I was coming back. Where was I coming back from?
Ace Hardware?
I forget. No, where was I?
Publix.
Yep, it was Publix.
That same place that you get the Asian chicken bowl? Or the salmon and olive oil bowl, as you say?
No. That's Reed's. It's for lunch.
Reed Berlette's?
No, it's called Reed's. It's like this like five chain thing in Charlotte. It's just load a 9mm, put it to my head, shoot me. But then before you shoot me, take $16 or $17 and just piss on it.
Wait, and also take several tablespoons of olive oil, douse your body with it.
Oh, yeah, actually, don't shoot me. Actually, just coat me in olive oil and then burn me alive. That's actually what happened. Bake me in olive oil.
We should do a segment where we cover you in olive oil and then we try to slip you into funny places.
So last night, and we've chronicled that I was booted
by my car.
My car was booted by the morons that run. And again, I work in this industry. I understand what has to happen and what happens. But what has made me so upset is I'm noticing non-residents not get penalized for breaking the parking garage codes and procedures and rules. And so last night, there was a car. And with how this gate situation is in this parking garage, think first two levels is for the public. There's a large retail presence underneath my apartment building. But then if you go onto the second level past a certain point, there's a gated, fenced roll-up entry. So everyone has a transponder that will allow them to come in. And so last night, there was a car that was parked just next to where the gate opens. And when I've always noticed this, but I've started to pay attention more and more in the past couple of weeks because of how I've been treated as a resident. That renewed, never negotiated a new rent, just took the increase, paid it, pay on time, never complain, never do service requests, never ever. But anyways.
And yet.
So I noticed this car was kind of in a peculiar position, not parked like they were leaving to go to a restaurant or a retail shop, but almost parked to have an easy way of entering the gate when I open it up with my transponder. And so as soon as I open the transponder, this car then pulls forward behind me. And immediately I know that the car now is trying to enter.
They're trying to finesse.
They're trying to finesse.
It's a tailgate, as they call it.
They were tailgating me.
But the tailgate, they call it in like security operations.
And I thought about it. Do I just sit an inch past the gate? But I said, no. Let's see how suspicious this car is. And mind you, this is not a nice car. It's not a Mercedes behind me.
It was
what people. It was what people would call a beat Altima.
Oh, it was a little Nissan John?
It was a John.
Nissan!
And so...
Nissan!
I say, you know what? I'm going to have a little fun here.
Yeah, man.
And so I start taking circuitous routes.
Wow!
Throughout the garage. Okay. And the car continues to follow me.
And you're like, oh my God, it's the Chinese.
No. I'm not... It was funny. I'm very confident in myself. I'm not fearful of my own life, but I was just so frustrated that clearly this person has no idea where to park. And so this car, I park on the fifth level, but I drive all the way up to the sixth because I'm like, okay, let's see how dumb this person is driving the car. And they follow me up to the sixth and it's a dead end, but I like position myself so that I could evade. But this person then fakes and parks, and then they get out of the car and they pretend to be on their phone. And then I entered into complete dad mode. I got out of the car and I'm like, hey man, you live here?
You did what, like, are you for real right now?
I swear I did this. Cause I am so disappointed with how this property has treated me. I took matters in my own hands. And I'm like, hey man, you live here? And the guy's like, nah, waiting for my buddy on four. He lives on the fourth floor. And I'm like, well, do you know what level you're on right now? And he's like, yeah, I'm on four. I'm like, no, dude, you're on six. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, you're acting pretty sketchy. And he's like, I'm not.
You for real? This is a real thing that happened? You're about to go, fuck it. Let's just not do this podcast. You're like, I hate podcasting. I hate talking to the audience. I hate talking to my boy. And you were just going to, you were going to glaze right over this tasty morsel story.
Yeah. Yep.
Shame on you, MacDon, slap yourself. Slap your neck right now.
Okay.
Do it. Did you do it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I did it.
Okay. So you just clapped your hands.
I did, but I also slapped it because I realized when I slapped my neck that you wouldn't hear it. I'm wearing a hoodie. But I was so frustrated and I drove off being like, look, this guy tailgated me. He tailed me the whole way. And we've had an issue. There have been some break-ins throughout the area of Charlotte that I live in. My suspicion's up. I get the police report. I get the police emails from the property. But I've been so disappointed with how, and again, I work in apartment development. I work with operations people. I know the financial structure at play here. So when I see mismanagement and no one's getting penalized for it, I was like, you know what? I'm fine. I'm gonna have a little fun. I'm going to play a little game. And so to catch someone red-handed sneaking into the property, of which there are guest parking spaces down below. Everyone knows these are, where these exist, if you live here. And again, it was not a car that screams, I live at the Atherton. So I'm just so fed up. I'm going to continue to do this. And next time, I think when someone tries to sneak behind me, I'm actually not going to let them through. I'm just going to stay right in front of the gate, let the gate close, and then they'll be stuck again.
But yeah, what's the meth? The meth is that you would just basically be an obstacle for them until whatever sort of gate closes.
Yeah. So it's one lane in, one lane out. Okay. You have to have a transponder. So like in a perfect world, if I notice someone trying to sneak in, I would just pull my car forward just a little bit past the gate, but not big enough. And then, you know, but then that brings into the equation, well, what if they hit my car?
That's what I was about to say, because all this sounds kind of hazardous.
It's extremely hazardous. Like last night was hazardous. I then parked being like, damn, I definitely just pissed this guy off. He could totally just go key my car. Or like whatever. But like I'd piss the guy off because I straight up called him out. I'm like, dude, you don't live here. You're sketchy. Like, this is weird.
Also, Breece Hall, I was expecting this to, under the preface of, I had a dad moment. Honestly, I commend you. You just took see something, say something into your own hands. And you did it, and you did it well. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know
if I would do that. And I don't mean that by like, I would not do that because I don't think it's right. I actually just don't think I would. There's parts of me that are like, it's not worth it. There's other parts of me that are like, I genuinely don't care.
Yeah.
And there are more parts of me that are like, I don't think I just want to get mixed up in the off chance that this man's is like,
and
is trying to like fuck around and do some shit.
I didn't have that fear last night. I felt I was in a cavalier mindset. I was just like, I had no fear for my own self, but I just wanted to prove a point after the absolute, like, there, I will not renew a lease here because of how I've been treated. So
yeah, you've mentioned a couple times that they're pretty negligent, right? They're just like not so great as far as.
Well, I'm just so frustrated. Like, I work in this business. I work in the industry. So I get the financial X's and O's. I get the leases. I get everything. And so when they booted me, a 2-year resident, you know, day one, you have to provide your make and model and your license plate to the property. I park in the same space every damn night. Every night, same spot.
You may have saved a young life out there. Maybe not a life. You may have saved somebody's belongings.
But here's part two. So then I come back from Publix today. You might see a recurring theme, folks. Yes, I spend a lot of my wealth at Publix. And the exit gate is stuck open. And this happens all the time. And this time I said, no way.
No way, he said.
I took a picture and I immediately got back behind my computer and I wrote a little bit of a nasty email to the property manager.
Oh my God.
I've been interfacing with.
Now you're being very fatherly. Now you're being very, but I've been there. Okay, keep going.
And I said, look, this is what's happened this weekend. If the property is so concerned with booting their residents, I sure would expect the same type of security enforced on non-residents. That appears to not be the case. And you know, even if I don't get my $100 back or an apology or some, because newsflash, folks, in the apartment world, leasing offices always have a couple $100 gift cards in the office. That's how they entice you to lease. As soon as you say, I'm not really so sure, the leasing associate will then say, well, here's a $500 gift card. How does that make you feel? And then you say, wow, yes, then I will sign. That's all I need. I just need a little gift card, need a little apology, a gift basket. I don't care.
I think maturity is knowing how much energy you can spend on bureaucracy.
Yep.
And or dealing with the ill nature of unbelievable, archaic, and rigid process as it relates to very, very, very stupid people manning very, 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 very obsolete positions. big boy, bitches doing bitch ass, bitchy shit. And I feel this too across so many things in my life. I feel you spiritually. Because every step of the way, and this is the case as well. Now, this is a complaining about customer service podcast. The one being, I am going to spend my energy, my thought on attempting to make this better or to receive some reparations for something that I've experienced. One B being, I am going to do everything in my fucking power so that I can bypass the robotic system of whatever sort of AI generated or chat box generated response system to speak with a human being, whether that is going to help me or not. That's adulthood, man. That's adulthood. When you wage, and I know especially on the apartment complex thing, because I seldom deal with a complex these days, but certainly with like brokers and landlords, and I'm doing that right now for my soon to be hopefully signed apartment that I do not really have, that I don't really have great leads on. I have a bunch of options, but whether or not they're actually feasible or not, TBD. And I'll say, at least for myself, dude, and I dealt with the Bank of America folks, and I've also been dealing with 17 different brokers. What about brokers? And you're in the industry. You're an industrious man.
Yep.
What about brokers specifically in New York? Do you think that they, is it a part of the training to be lobotomized? Or is it a part of the training perhaps to attempt to be as fucking unhelpful and stupid as possible? Is that a part of the equal test of like an LSAT? It's like, you know, can you put together this IKEA furniture, and can you also watch this 10-minute long best of 2000s Vine don't laugh challenge?
My thought is there are just so many people that they don't have to really care. Like your experience with that incredible apartment, there's probably just somehow, some way, still the demand far outweighs supply, and therefore you get some. And also, you know, there's some personality tendencies on that side of the spectrum.
Yeah, the developmentally disabled spectrum is what they're on mostly.
I guess I just feel like the demand at which you find yourself in right now, because I bet a lot of people are making, everybody kind of makes similar money at certain ages, and they're drawn to obviously certain areas. So I'd be curious. I feel like yours is a byproduct of it, that people don't have to be nice and outgoing and professional to you. You're kind of just another number.
100.
I feel like 100. The only way you could have a better experience is actually be like independently have been friends with someone who now is a broker.
Yeah. I've definitely made some good relationships, and for the most part, it's been pretty good this time around, but not always. I'm always astounded by some of the responses that I get. Even some of the descriptions in the listings are laughable, bro. They're juvenile. And you reach out and it's just like, you know, pretty rinse and repeat. Hey, what's up? Let me talk to you about this unit. Let's align on a strategy. Let's fucking circle back and suck balls. But uniformly, the response is so transactional in a way that also just removes proper grammar. And that's always a little frustrating for sure. Especially is it like somebody that's effectively like the gatekeeper of your life. Bro, I'm in an interesting place with this apartment stuff. Like, I have time. I'm not stressed. Beyond that thing that popped up, that Park Slope apartment, the rest of the stuff's pretty dog shit. And more every day, if not like every hour, emerge. And I'm on every single listing. I'm looking. I'm reaching out. I'm saying what's up. But like, there's a world in which, and I've been getting closer to entertaining this thought. There's a world in which I don't want to rush it. I also just don't want to live in a place that's going to suck. I'm going to move again. Like, the goal is to move somewhere that I can be for a couple of years. And so it would have to check some boxes. It doesn't have to be perfect, but just has to check some of the requisite criteria. And there's a world that I could see myself moving my stuff into storage and like couch surfing for like however long it takes.
That'd be brute.
It would be really ass, but I could do it. Wouldn't be that bad.
You got homies? You got boys?
I got hella homes that I could chill at.
Well,
I would just have to split up my time a couple places, but yeah, I got homes.
Folks, we will be chronicling Grease's couch surfing as if he went to Maui and is surfing a wave.
Dude, what would your superhero name be if you're like a neighborhood watch guy? You think you'd be a neighborhood watch guy when you are a homeowner?
No, but I would be, I think being in real estate, people would just assume I'm on every HOA board.
That's different though. That's that, like, you would want to be that. You want to influence your own.
I got homies on HOA boards and they're like,
it's ass.
Like, dude, it's brutal.
Yeah, but can't you just control some of your destiny too? You have like a little more, so you have a seat at the table.
I agree. That could be I don't think I'm a neighborhood watch guy. That sounds awful.
I mean, dude, you're starting. This is the budding career of a neighborhood watchman.
Here's my thing.
You're gonna start getting perps. You're gonna start beating the fuck out of assailants, bro.
I'd rather just slush whatever it costs a month to just do a private
security guy. Hey, bro, let's get so Barry's big 27th is in July. Everybody, let's do like a GoFundMe or a crowdsource situation where we get him a real military issued police baton. We can get you a full uniform, night vision goggles. Dude, just start camping out. You could stop all this Charlotte crime, bro. It's in your hands.
Well, maybe one day, Grease.
Hashtag get Barry to the academy.
And watch Prison Break.
Yeah, watching Prison Break, generating all of this user-generated content through hashtag get Barry to the academy. Uh-huh. We will not rest until Barry is minted, not as an NFT, and not into the cyberspace, but as a police officer of the greater North Carolina state of Charlotte. What's the current state of Charlotte? It's MacDon's Charlotte now. There's a new sheriff in town. His name's MacDon. There's a new sheriff in town. You're getting into an apartment complex? Not on Barry's watch. Hashtag not on Barry's watch.
Folks, I love you all. If I don't use the bathroom, I'm going to die.
Piss your pants.
No, I love you.
Poop your pants right now.
Until next weekend, we'll do our Super Bowl recap.
We're going to poop our pants on next week's stream. Next week's stream, Patreon. Barry and I poop in each other's pants.
God bless the world.
I'll never claim to be a wise man. Poop your pants, man. Come on. Poopy.
End it.
Okay, fine.
Come one, come all. It's tough to say, y'all.